Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Wyn Scheltema, and our guest this week, Karen Longwell. Each week, we visit with a local author. This week, one who is well known in this area as a journalist. We get an introduction to their work, sometimes a glimpse into their lives. We find out what prompts them to write and give them an opportunity to read from their work. We're very pleased to have Karen with us today. Karen was born in Hamilton and raised in a number of towns around Toronto, where as an adult she spent several years. Her work in the newspaper business has taken her all over Canada, from Nova Scotia to British Columbia. She earned a BA at the University of Toronto and also holds a diploma in photojournalism from Loyalist College. She's won several journalism awards, most notably a Jack Webster Fellowship. The fellowship, Seeing the World Through New Eyes, was awarded to 5 British Columbian journalists and took Karen to Cambodia and Vietnam to work on development stories in February and March of 2007. Before she took up journalism as a career, she taught ESL, that's English as a second language, of course, in Japan for 7 years. She has worked as a photojournalist for the Northumberland News since 2011. And while living in Bracebridge, she belonged to a writers' group and wrote fiction for fun. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
So you taught English as a second language in Japan for 7 years.
Yes.
I taught ESL in Toronto high schools and had students from all over the world, but actually only one student from Japan. Tell us about teaching and living there. Did you feel part of society?
It's an interesting experience. I loved it personally. I felt at home in Asia almost from the first time I went there. But you're always in Japan. They have a very interesting culture. It's a long time been isolated from the rest of the world until like the 1800s or so. And at the same time, it was just, it's a beautiful culture. There's the hot springs, the mountains. I love learning the language. I spent a little bit learning the language, and I love the food, of course. I love sushi and tempura. Yeah, it was a great experience for sure.
And were you provided with good teaching materials? When I taught in Thailand one winter, one of the most interesting aspects of doing so was developing my own materials. Were you free to do this?
Yeah, we were. We were given a set of materials. It was based on conversational. I taught for business, mostly businessmen, but there were women too. But we taught adults, and we were provided with a textbook to go over a basic conversation and then practice that conversation, because they were learning to speak in situations where they might go overseas and talk with on a business trip. So, yeah, that it was good, and we were encouraged to create some of our own materials. As for fun, we did games and other supplemental materials. I actually developed a book on idioms, which included little drawings and an idiom. Every week I would post it on my door, so I collected a whole bunch of those and made it into a little booklet, and I sent it off to a publisher. But I heard back, they were encouraging, but they said no, not this time, which is, I think, is par for the course for writers. But anyway, it was fun to do that, and the students really enjoyed it too.
Yes. What inspired you to take up journalism when you returned to Canada? Have you found working for a newspaper in a small town like Bracebridge or Cobourg very different from your experience working in Halifax?
What inspired me to take up journalism? Actually, I left Japan, or I decided to leave Japan shortly after 9/11. I was a whole continent, a world away, but I heard that news and I decided that I needed to stop, just fooling around and do something serious and what I wanted to do with my life, which was writing and photography, mostly photography. So I made a choice to apply for a journalism school. I applied to Loyalist, it was a couple of years later I got in and finished my program. Dreams of working for a bigger paper, I mean, those are not quite dead yet. But anyway, I did start out in Halifax. It was then the Halifax Daily News, which closed shortly after I left. But it was wonderful. I loved working there. Beautiful. Nova Scotia is gorgeous. And I was a full-time photographer. Well, I worked part-time hours, but I was only doing photography at that paper, which was great. I was all over Nova Scotia taking pictures, and but unfortunately, the hours were only 14 hours a week, I think. So when I got a call for a job in, I applied for a full-time job in British Columbia, so I moved out there. And that was a really tiny paper and really in the middle of nowhere in British Columbia, Williams Lake, British Columbia, if anybody knows that, central BC, which I really loved as well. I love being any place that's different, right? I like to experience new places, so that was really great for a while. But yeah, it is a small place, and of course, Cobourg and the Port Hope area are larger than other places I've been in the past, so... For newspapers.
You're
so.
Expanding.
Yeah, I'm expanding slowly.
Well, how about reading us something?
Sure.
What will you read?
You mentioned the Jack Webster Award.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was going to read a little bit from my blog that I wrote. This was the first of several trips that I've taken. Yeah, and it really gave me the taste for international journalism and that was my first experience. So as part of the trip, I agreed to write a little blog every day. And I don't know, it was very popular in my newspaper at the time. And I think, not much has changed from 2007, I don't think. So
that would be great.
Okay, so this is the first entry in my blog. Everyone is 10 minutes late in Cambodia, says the doorman at my hotel in Phnom Penh, as I'm waiting for one of my interview subjects to show up. It is the second time today he has seen me waiting outside, and he seems to be right. At 6:10, my contact arrives. There seems to be a very relaxed feeling in Cambodia about most things. People are very quick to smile at foreigners and are curious about them. They love to look at the back of my camera to see the photos. Today I ran across another wedding, but this time it was in a small village. I asked the driver to stop and ran out to take a photo. Since it was a wedding, there were some people there with their own digital camera. I was surprised when one man tapped me on the shoulder and showed me a photo on the back of his camera. It was me taking photos. We both laughed. People are always asking me about where I'm from and how cold it is. Usually these two questions come in rapid fire, not 2 minutes after you meet someone. I tell them about the snow and the minus 30 degree weather, but not many have experienced it. Some will never see snow in their lives. Okay, and this is the second entry, March 1st. Two chickens and a monk walk into the internet cafe tonight. It sounds like the first line of a bad joke, but it's true. I noticed the chickens outside my hotel and thought it was funny because Phnom Penh is a city. It's actually the capital city. But anyway, it seems like the chickens just wanted to hang out at the edge of one of the computer chairs. The monk checked his email, and I did the same, with a few clucking interruptions. It was quite a good day today. I headed out on a 4-hour drive to one of a very rural area with a man who survived all the unrest in Cambodia, despite having his hometown in the heart of Khmer Rouge country. His story and many others will be featured in upcoming issues. That was my main purpose there. On the way to the area, we stopped in Sukan, a city famous for deep-fried tarantula. I refused to try the terrifying treat many times as my host thrust it, dangling legs and all, into my face. Finally, I gave in and broke off a small piece of a leg and ate it without looking too close. I can't really say what it tasted like. It was kind of like a crunchy, crispy chicken. In Sukan, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this, in Sukan, dozens of women carry huge plates of tarantulas, which, my host says, are gathered in the forest. It's not a huge moneymaker, he says, and people who do this are kind of poor. March 2nd. On the road again today, and what a road it is. My last story in Cambodia is about a young boy who is getting help from Canada to receive a higher education. I thought visiting his home village would be a good way to see what life was like there before. It was about a 5-hour drive, but the last hour is down a spine-jarring roller coaster-like road. Nevertheless, Philuthium is anxious to talk to me for the entire ride through especially loud Cambodian pop music blaring on the car stereo. Many conversations fade into a lost in translation's moments. Here's an example. Philuthium, that's his name. Philuthium, do you know the mountain? Me, I say, the what? Philuthium, the mountain. Many foreign people like it. The monkey? No, no monkey. The mountain. He pulls out a pen and writes the word. Oh, the mountain. Yes, the mountain. Many people go there to see the animals. What animals? Tigers, elephants, monkeys, many more. Oh. I'm still not sure what the mountain is or why he brought it up, but I was thrilled to see his enthusiasm and try to explain things to me. That's the end of my blog for that part. There were more, but anyway.
Thank you very much, Karen. Now we'll take a short break.